Hey, everybody, welcome to the Linux Link Tech Show. Of course, we will play our promo for you while you make sure to connect and join us on the IRC channel. That's point your favorite IRC client to the server, thelinuxlink.net, and join us on channel Pound Tech Show. We'll be right back with you. Right?
Right.
With goodness.
Yeah.
Hi folks, this is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or I wonder if they would review my product? Or why don't they talk about this? Or maybe I sure would like to support these fellas somehow? Or just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by pointing your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming back and listening to us at the Linux Link Tech Show. My name is Link, and right over my right-hand shoulder, we have our good buddy Alan, who manages to come here all the time.
And then evening all.
Directly across from me, we have a celebrity.
Mr. Happy.
His Highness, the gastric master, Dan Washko.
Well, just think, if I was in your spot shooting it all over to Alan, you guys get the backblast from the wall.
Right.
All right. So the
wall
gets the
brunt of
it.
We have the fan pointing toward you.
That's right. There's a little thought behind the direction of the fan in the room. That's what it is. Anyway, we have a great story for you tonight. A great show for you tonight. A little bit on the tired side. I've been covering for some extra people at work this week, so we're just kind of crawling along as we go. But I know Dan has all kinds of stuff that he's dying to talk to people about.
He's been wired since he came.
He's like wired for sound. And so I'm interested to see what kind of stuff that he wants to inflict upon everybody this week.
Be nice. It's going to be nice things.
Sure. Absolutely.
Nice things.
Nice things like what?
Well, you know, I have a couple of
hoagie stories.
No, it should be fairly clean tonight. And I have a couple of contest ideas that we're going to float out here.
Oh, yeah.
Really simple stuff. And we might get that start off in a couple minutes. And for Patrick, no, we didn't get the call-in issues worked out yet. We didn't even do anything about that.
We have thought about it, though.
We definitely will be getting that done in the future. And speaking of that,
it's because we are the kings of procrastination.
It's also because we do everything on the show 5 minutes before it starts.
And not to mention that, like, this is Dan's house that we do the show in every week, and Dan just got here like 20 seconds before the show started this week. So,
all right. I don't know. Over here where I am, it's raining out, and it's a little muggy. How's the weather over there, Link?
Well, over here where I... Oh, let me check. It's a little muggy and raining out over here, too.
We got to go to the east side of the tech show. East side of the... No, west side of the tech show.
West side of the tech show.
Alan, what's the weather like on the west side?
There's a slight breeze coming in over here.
There'll be a fetid odor coming soon. And I was thinking, you brought up a good point that... It's raining and it's Wednesday, so it must be a tech show night.
That's right, man.
So I was thinking, we should solicit this show in other markets and say, if you're having a drought, if you
must
pay for
listen
us to
the
come
tech
in,
show, that's right.
You pay for us to come there, we will bring the rain.
That's right.
We will bring the rain.
Without a doubt, because it happens. It's happened, you know, damn near every week this summer.
Yes.
Every Wednesday.
It was not just the summer, in the spring and in the winter,
right?
With snow. So we bring the rain. We bring the rain. No need for Indian rain dances or seeding the clouds. Just have us come do the show where you are.
Three geeks in a room.
That's right. Three geeks in a room, and
the rain will
the
come.
The storm starts coming.
Now, I had an idea for a contest on the way over here. And like most of my ideas for the tech show, they always happen in the car or when I'm reading InfoWorld on the toilet
at work.
Yeah.
that's
I had an idea. And this is a more of a contest for our chat listeners right now. Now, if someone in the chat doesn't get it, are we logging the chat still?
Yes.
For the show?
Every week,
and,
yep.
And you're listening to this outside of either the chat or live, and nobody's answered it. Well, you can chance answering this question. It's not a simple question.
By
really doesn't have
by emailing us.
Yeah, by emailing us.
Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net.
Yes, or if you're on the chat, you can answer the question on the chat, and we'll send you a bumper sticker.
Yeah,
it's a simple question because I got bumper stickers I got to get rid of before the kids chew them up or something, or the dog does.
Yeah, really, you can get a dog now. You can, like, bumper sticker the dog.
Yeah, or shave it right into the side there.
Yeah.
Tech show. All right, I'm setting a new topic for the tech show. If you could tell me what that is and what is unique about that in regards to what it is, you get a bumper sticker.
Oh, man. Looks like I don't get a bumper sticker because I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Because I thought about it over there. Because think about it. I got an iPod. I'm in the car. Think about it. Those are the two hints. And Saturday night, that's another hint. Now, Alan, don't
iPod
give it away.
In the car on Saturday night. Were you in the car with him on Saturday night?
No, not this past Saturday.
I'm waiting for the iPod still.
Wasn't date night.
Huh? Oh, you're waiting for the iPod.
Me too, man. No doubt.
The iPod. All right, so that topic is there. See if you know if you can figure out what it is and why, what's kind of special. But even if you just figure it out, maybe I'll give you the bumper sticker. But if you can tell me why, what is peculiar about that in regards to what it is from, and
dude,
I will
you
give
got
you.
Me. They want to know if they can cheat with Google.
Well, somebody, but you can cheat with Google. But the first one to get out why it's unique. But that's all I'll leave it at because I don't want. We'll continue on.
All right, continue on. Continue on. I have stuff to continue on.
Well,
with.
Good.
I do. I
know.
And
what
you
it is,
and you put it up on the. I want to hit on this real quick before we talk about the RSS aggregation stuff. The little web development things that I had going on this week. Really, really cool. If you're make my little plug here. If you're Christian and you run Linux, check out linuxforchristians.org. That's LANUX, the number 4, Christians.org. That's a site that I run. But the reason that I wanted to mention it here on the air is that one of the guys on my mailing list does fantastic web graphics. And it appears to me that he's doing the whole thing in under Linux. You know
I was
what
just
I mean?
Going to ask you, did he do the Penguin
Blender?
Yeah,
he did the Penguin in Blender.
Okay, cool.
And he did the whole thing in Blender, and then he did some like post-processing work, he said, in GIMP. I didn't go into an awful lot of detail with like what kind of post-processing work he's talking about, but Blender and the GIMP, and you know, it's a little 3D Penguin dude hanging out on there with shadows and the whole... It looks really, really good. And I'm totally impressed with that. And Blender now, if I'm not mistaken, is free. It's free software, right?
Yes.
I think another version just came out not too long ago.
Free open source stuff, and it just, you know, it looks wonderful. Made a big difference, whole difference in the world to that website. And since we're on the whole website thing,
you know what that is?
What?
I just wanted to say that is a beautiful job on the website.
It's cool, man. It's all due to that graphic, you know. The little munging and stuff like that.
It's a little more
too,
than just the graphic. I mean, the whole design and layout, I think, is really nice. You did a good job.
Like I said, little table munging in there, but the real inspiration comes from having a decent corner graphic to work off of, you know. But other than that, I was going to say, you know, we've talked about this, hit this subject before about people's blogs, their weblogs and stuff like that.
And I run one, and Dan does, and Alan does, and we run one for the tech
show. I occasionally post one.
Yeah, we have Alan post once or twice a year. But we keep hitting the topic of cool, geeky kind of weblogs, and that, of course, brings into play, you know, RSS aggregator, our news aggregators. I won't say RSS because there's XML and other things, too.
Go ahead.
Thus far, I have had the worst luck finding an aggregator that I actually like to use. And the problems with that are the only one that really is truly portable, you know, because I use multiple computers in multiple different locations throughout the day, and I can't just have something static and stationary on one machine that's a news aggregator because perhaps, you know, I want to read my stuff when I'm at work or when I'm at home or when I'm over here doing the tech show or wherever the hell I happen to be. And I can't do that if it's, you know, if that application and that particular hunk of news is statically linked to one computer. So, I checked out, first thing I did was I checked out Mozilla's, what was the one that you sent me for Mozilla?
Oh,
or was it Firefox?
Sage.
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 Sage, again, you're static.
You can't go multiple computers.
Right, you're stuck with it on your one computer. So there's one tick down. The second thing is I thought it was slow, and it was weird, like it handled weird. You know what I mean?
I haven't been using it for a while. I haven't had any problems with it.
A lot of people really like it. I just thought it was, you know, like, one, number one, it was tied to one computer. Number two, it's slow. And number three, it, like, handles funny. Like, the configuration is kind of funny, I guess. That's what it was. Now, it could have been something I did. Configuration, you know, I'm one of them guys. I install software real quick. I have a lot of things that I'm doing. And I might not always pay attention to prompts and things like that as they go along.
Oh, you mean I had to do that?
Yeah, right. So I canned that pretty quick, and I went over to, you know, not that it doesn't work at all, because it does.
I think it's a very nice one if you only have one computer, or if you only have a few of them, and you've got multiple computers, you only have a few that you look at.
There you go. And
you don't mind seeing, you know, oh, I already saw
I'm
that
sure
one.
That there are some files under there, or a directory, or something like that, that you could copy around if you really wanted to be able to use it on multiple machines, or some sort of thing like that. The other one I looked at was Snow News, which I have used before, and that's kind of cool. It's a little text-based one. And it works really, really good. Except for some reason, I have a really hard time getting it set up so that, like, when you want to actually read an article in depth and you tell it to launch the article, I had a really hard time getting it to launch Firefox. You know? And there again, it's not a completely portable thing. However, you could, you know, you can shell into somewhere and, you know, use screen or something. You can read it pretty much practically wherever you are. But when you want to actually read the article, it wants to bring it up in either links or, ideally, what I would have liked is Firefox, but you can't do that graphically over over a net connection with any kind of speed. So that kind of fell down by the way too. And then I ran into we got an email today from a guy named Patrick.
Do you have Ewing.
No. Do you have his last? Do you have his last name? I don't have
if
his last name.
Alan. No, too late.
His name was Patrick. He emailed us at the tech show. You know who you are. I promise I'll, you know, we'll acknowledge you somehow or another. Anyway, I read your email, and he said he was listening to an old show of ours where we're talking about RSS aggregation, and he suggested blog lines and, was it feed or something like that?
It's Pete, I can't even pronounce his last name now. I'm not going to screw it up. You know who you are. This one here? Sorry.
Pete Protowell, that's what it is.
Okay, sorry about screwing up your last name there.
Well, I probably butchered it too, but like I said, thanks anyway, man, because we checked out your email, and you said check out blog lines, and the other one was what?
Still have it? Oh, no, I just turned it off.
Okay, check out blog lines, and another one was, I think it was feed, I don't know.
I'll Maybe it again. Hold on.
Alan will check it out for us. But anyway, I checked out the Feed and Feed one. Alan's going to give me the name so that, you know. Actually, probably won't, so I continue to sound stupid.
Feed on Feed.
Feed on Feed. There you go. See, I was really close. I checked that one out, and that one looks really, really cool. That's something that I'm interested in seeing maybe Dan set up for some people. Because he already has, like, the whole PHP thing going and all that. I don't have PHP set up on my computer. I probably could, but, you know. He's already got all that stuff going, and that sounds really cool because that's like a localized version of the other one, which is, of course, Bloglines, which is the one that I got hooked on today. And I have seen Bloglines before several times, and I do not know why I just have this aversion to signing up for a public kind of service like that. But, you know, I really don't have anything to hide because they're just weblogs that I read. So I signed up on the thing today. And Bloglines is just a public service. You can sign up to have this thing do your news aggregation for you, your RSS aggregation of all your, you know, weblogs that you read and stuff like that. And I signed up and have some 20-odd feeds that I'm looking at now, and it works really, really slick. And I was completely impressed with that. It made my day. And I know one of the guys in our lug, Ricardo, has said on many occasions that it's a real time saver that he uses, like in a news aggregator, because he doesn't keep going back to the same sites over and over and over again.
To find out that nothing's updated
and all that. And you know, I kind of pass that off, but it really is. If you use something like this, you can jump right down through, and everything's nice and neat. And another really great thing about an aggregator is that it formats everything the same. You know, because different news sites have their, you know, the pages are designed differently. You got to find different things in their different places, and it's just really cool. Everything is nice and neat, and it's all formatted the same, and it tells you when you have new stuff, and you can even set. They have some programs out there, little Java applets and all kinds of KDE applets, doc apps, that will actually go out and pull blog lines and tell you whether you have new stuff to read or not. It's really neat. I highly advocate checking it out. If you don't have to use it on different computers and you don't want to sign up for like a web-based service like I did, which doesn't cost anything, by the way, if you don't want to do that, I highly recommend checking out Snow News or
Sage
on Mozilla or Firefox. I know there's a couple other ones out for Firefox now. I keep seeing...
There was a couple. If you go to the plugins page, there was a couple other ones on there. That one I just happened to... It was one of the first ones up there for
a check
long
them minute. Out, because, you know...
It seems to work well for me.
Yeah, it's a really good idea, especially if you're, you know, if you're a guy like me and you have several... You know, and I don't even have that many. Like 20, that's not very many. I've seen... I saw, for instance, Rick's list of Ricardo's, right?
Right.
List of weblogs that he reads today, and there had to be like 60 on there or something like that. Just an insane number. I only read like 20 of them. Maybe more if I, you know, got some that were interesting. And some of the ones I have, like, you know, like Alan's log, don't really get a whole lot of traffic.
It doesn't get a whole lot of traffic.
Get a whole lot of posts either.
So it's, you know, it's kind of on there.
Well, I did
couple
one
of
the
months. Yeah, you did. You did. It was good.
Now I
with a good help from Hanson and everything.
What did I get? Crap.
Didn't got crap. Okay.
I didn't want to get a second aggregator or I already have a lot of applications open at work on a regular basis.
Right.
So I figure if I can get an aggregator that integrates with the applications I have on a regular basis, that would be great. I tried going to Bloglines, but now they found a way to do proper filtering that blasts through, you know, doesn't allow you to blast through using a proxy. And I don't know how they did it, but I can't get to certain sites. And blogging sites... like major blogging sites, or to get the actual blog line software. Now, I could get it by coming through my house and getting it. But I figured, well, I don't want a separate thing, and if I don't want to have to go through any hassles, if it's a web-based thing, if I'm going to have trouble getting to the site at work. So there was a plug-in, an extension for Mozilla Mail Client,
right,
and Thunderbird. Now, I use Thunderbird at work just to, you know, mess around with reading some of my mail and news groups and stuff. So I plugged that in, and I put the addresses in, and it was a little... Not as easy to use as some of the other ones. It was a little quirky. It's still in alpha stage, but it works just fine.
Uh-huh.
The only blog I was not able to get, well, actually, there were two blogs for some reason, were Finglefin's and Scott's blog.
There you go.
I don't know why it would not come through. That's the way it is.
Did they say bad words? Maybe they said bad words.
No, I think anything objectionable would have been blocked out by the Comedy Central Daily Show blog, which I pulled off of Ricardo's list that he was generous to publish. But that's the way it is. That was I use Sage here because again, I like it. I don't know, it worked for me. And
see, you probably paid attention while you were configuring it,
right?
So I was off in, like, La La Land somewhere.
That's the way it be.
It is.
Jones.
It is. But check it out. It's, you know, it's a neat tool that I never really played with. You know, just cursorily. I played with Snow News once before. And I never really gave it a whole lot of thought again until, you know, I keep hearing Rick tell everybody over and over again how much time it saves him and how it's a wonderful thing. And I figured, you know.
Did you post the URL?
It really is.
On the
for blog lines.
Yeah.
No, now, I didn't, another, but I'm going to put it on there right now.
Another cool thing, which Ricardo had called to my attention, which I think is really useful, is Delicious. And I'm posting the URL right now for you to take your bookmarks with you wherever you want to go.
Really?
And you can aggregate that, too. But I think it's really useful. Particularly...
Now, that's an
idea. And I actually got to use this, or start talking about it at work, because they were doing an academy on really, you know, interesting educational websites for teachers would go and explore websites. And I was thinking, you know, they use these computers. They don't always use the same computer. Why not hook them up with Delicious? That way they can take their bookmarks with them wherever they go. And it's really easy to use.
There you go.
I sent them that URL and said, check it out. And I don't know if they're going to use it, but, hey, that was a great idea. Thank you, Ricardo.
Good stuff.
Is it time for public service announcements?
Ba-dum-bum. Yeah, sure. What, you want some news music?
Why not? Blow my head off. Now, I got a good public service announcement for pet owners.
Okay, pet owners.
Pet owners. All right. Eventually, your pets are going to die. Got to put them to sleep.
This is true.
Now, I don't know how you guys are, but me, I'm a bury my own kind of guy. I like to take my pets, bury them out in the where I can, you know, someplace in my yard or in a relative's yard. Now, word of advice when you're burying your pets, if you have kids...
Bury deep.
Yeah, young kids. Or if you are a grandparent or going to be a grandparent and you have young kids love to dig in the dirt. So if you bury them in the garden or someplace that's appealing to dig in, just be aware, they might be digging them up. Very soon, because we had that happen today.
Oh,
in the neighbor's
boy.
Yard. They were digging in the neighbor's garden, and they dug up a nice little box, and you're thinking, you know, a kid's looking at it. Ooh,
it's a treasure box.
Yeah, it had a treasure in it, all right. It was a neighbor's ferret that died.
Oh, man.
Now, the little one got freaked out by this, came running home, yelling something about a dead dug in the box, you know. And she has freaked out when the cats grab birds and bring them on the steps. Oh, my God, that's a big presentation. There's a dead bird out there. She just goes apeshit. It's funny. So either bury them deep, like Alan said, but you got to be careful because, especially if you have boys, as they get older, that little digging around for earthworms turns into digging pits and forts and stuff underground. So, you know, you'll be digging away something even deeper and you pull up a dog's head. Eventually.
Yeah, bury them in concrete.
We've never had that problem with
house foundations.
And maybe have your kids not play in the graveyard.
There you go.
Don't dig in the graveyard, because children shouldn't play with dead things.
We always had a little section you know, in the yard that was for like the fish and the hamsters and everything else that died.
You bury fish?
You know, when you're Alan's five, you do, yeah.
That's where they buried Alan's masculinity.
I think bury fish at sea, right?
When you're like five, you do.
We buried our fish in the backyard.
Did you really?
Yeah, we had a little ceremony. Yeah,
later on, it became the salute by the toilet. You know, when you're five, you know, it's a whole little, you know, put it in the tin can and bury it out in the backyard.
I never did fish like that. But I'll tell you what,
Goldie the fish, you know,
in order to
friend,
right. In order to make sure that sort of thing did not happen to my poor deceased cat Booger, who died a couple of years ago, I happily still have regular contact with my cat Booger.
He's not like in your living room or something.
No, he is kind of sort of. He's on my computer. I didn't have him stuffed or anything. This cat really liked to, as he got older and ill, he liked to sit on top of my monitors and stuff. Because they're real warm, you know? And after he passed, I had him cremated. And you know how they give them back to you when you cremate them? They give them back to you in this little plastic square box with their name on the top. So he's just hanging out in his box next to my monitor. And he seems pretty happy about that. You just walk by and, you know, dust him off every now and then. It's good to go. As long as you have a little shelf space, there's your answer. And nobody digs him up out of the garden.
There you go. No, Shasta's on our shelf downstairs.
There you are.
Until someone knocks it over and breaks that bag or something.
Yeah. Oh, man. And it's not quite the same because, you know, they don't feel the same when you pet them after that. No.
They don't like to eat. And they don't keep the kitty litter clean for you when they're in a box like that.
But, you know, thankfully, there again, my cat Booger doesn't piss on my bed anymore either, so...
Now, I was thinking about the public service announcement music.
Yes.
It sounds more like...
News music?
Yeah, news. Yeah, news.
That's exactly what it
right.
is.
Right. This just in. Then, and I don't think we can play the actual... What is that? Emergency broadcast system.
You know, I thought about that a couple of times.
I don't know if you could do that. Is that... That's.
I don't know either. I actually downloaded it once just, you know, when I was... FCC might actually frown on something like that.
Oh, and for people in the Lehigh Valley area, this week Music Fest starts. So if you're going to be heading around Bethlehem towards the end of the week and in the next
week... Don't park on the street.
Be aware that there's going to be a heck of a lot of traffic.
Take a bus.
We're not going to be able to park down here on a... Next Wednesday.
Now, you know what? We don't get a lot of Music Fest traffic up this far.
Okay.
A lot of parking. And since they also moved it further down to, like, Sand Island area, people are parking on the other side of the river, too.
Good there.
So even when it was mostly up here, we didn't get a lot of traffic. So the lug meeting, if you park from Moravian College on north, actually, if you park north of Elizabeth Avenue, you should have... No problem finding a spot or two.
Cool.
Most awesome.
Grrr. Oh, you know what?
That's what I think.
All right, and it's time for something else. We've complained a lot, I think the past two or three shows, about Coors and the Coors beer products. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, as I was listening to the radio... On the off time when I wasn't listening to the iPod, I heard another Coors commercial, and they said bro in it. And so I don't think
the
advertising moguls at Coors took my advice to heart about using the word bro. So instead of me just rambling on about how I hate Coors and how I think it's a crappy beer and how I think that you should never use the word bro, and I hope I don't hear it popping up in other beer commercials, but I think I am. I mean, like for Bud or Bud Light. I decided to put together my own commercial for Coors and to show them the right way
emailing it to them after
to do.
The show.
Yeah, it's the right way to do it. So if you're listening, people at Coors, this is the right way to do a Coors commercial.
That's right. Coors commercial parody, right?
Hard. The buzz is on until Alan drops the bro bomb.
Hey, bro, how about another round?
Wait, we got to restart that because you missed like the first three or four words.
Way to kill the bit, man.
No, but it's good. You gotta hear their beginning. You gotta hear the beginning. Here it comes.
It's guys' night out, there and you've been drinking hard. The buzz is on until Alan drops the bro bomb.
Hey, bro, how about another round?
Indeed, how about it? Show that douchebag just what it means to be a bro. Because when you care enough not to care, send them to the Rockies. Coors, cold brew, straight from the goat piss streams of Colorado. The beer of dickhead bros the world over.
So there you go.
Hey,
finally,
funny,
a reason to buy Coors.
Hey, bro.
A reason to buy Coors for your bro speaking douchehead bugger, buddy.
Oh, that's great. Sorry, hey, I'm on the 15 seconds delay there. But
Ellen's still laughing about the last, you know.
Well, I'm on the 15 second delay when I listen to things. So.
That's funny, though, man. All right, guys. It is 9:33. Do we want to do our little musical interlude thingy?
That's up to you. Do you have a song?
I do. Alan actually dug us up something off of the archives.org, right?
Archives.org, yeah.
And it is called Advice for a Youngster by Ernesto Aeroflot.
Aeroflot, yeah. I think. I just love the name. That's why
it's
I
Aeroflot,
it
yeah. Some kind of...
Yeah,
anyway,
there's tons of stuff on archives.org to dig around on.
Check it. It's good stuff and... by golly, it's good for us because we don't have to pay any royalties. But anyway, yeah, check it out. It's pretty good song. Catch you in approximately 4 minutes.
Hey, bro.
Information at your fingertips, just in case you find time to take a break. Click here. Click here. Click here. Click here. Click now. Click here. Click here. Click here. Click
Tech Show. Tech Show.
Playing another promo? Or what are you playing?
Hi, this is Alan.
Oh,
yeah.
I gotta shut up now.
Hold on. Night at 9.
Yeah, Alan's talking. It's the
audio
Alan promo.
http://thelinuxlink.net.
Listen, Alan speaks.
You can also participate by pointing your IRC client to linuxlink.net and joining Pound Tech Show. That's every Wednesday night at 9, only on the linuxlink.net.
That's it. That's our Alan fix for the day.
You know, I was just, you know, another thing to point out. Oh, no. That Coors commercial was actually, I think, the first bit we've ever pre-recorded for the show.
Yes.
Now, all you people out there are welcome to record bits for the show and for the stream.
Oh, yeah.
We encourage
that. We would love it. But, you know,
we also encourage your own original music, too.
Yeah, and I tried to get people to do that whole, you know, tell us that you listen to the tech show thing. Like we had the Calico Jack thing like this.
Hi, right. My name is Calico Jack, and the voices in my head listen to the Linux Link Tech Show.
And he's like the only guy that sent one in. And I like it. I mean, it's like it's a cool little thing, a little ditty you put in there. But
Michelle sent one in, right?
Yeah.
Via your computer, right?
Kind of, pretty much.
You know what? I would like to have more, because I hate to fill up the stream with all just...
It's all the same stuff, yeah.
The Linux show stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Linux Link Tech Show. But I would like to hear more from Slug and Lug Radio to go on the stream.
Absolutely. Well, they're kind of on vacation or hiatus. Well, Slug Radio isn't. Sort of, kind of. They're not, but they haven't released anything in like a month or something like that.
You know, speaking of that.
Lug Radio is on like
hiatus. Did you
hiatus
listen to the Linux show last week?
No.
All right, well. Did you?
No.
Now, maybe some of our listeners did, but I did. And they were talking about the Linux Daily and all this stuff that they have for it. And I thought they were talking like they have for it and is going on, but it's still not daily. The last post
Have you tried, what's their little network that they have over there?
Geekcast?
Yeah, have you tried to connect to that lately?
I tried a while ago and I never got anything.
The last 50 times I tried, you can't get connected. It doesn't run, so.
But I would like to, you know, I enjoyed listening to that. Something different. Now, this week's show, I wasn't able to. I guess they don't have it. Or they're at, is it the Linux World?
Linux World in San Francisco.
Is that where they are? They're supposed to broadcast from now. I wonder when they're going to do that. But, no daily. And, you know, hopefully they'll bring it back. They said that they're going to have a whole lot of different shows going on. It's almost going to be like a daily four-hour thing or something with what they were talking about.
This is just the daily show or something that's supposed to run off of Geekcast? Because they're supposed to have all this stuff running off Geekcast, too.
I don't know.
Like you see, they have whole daily program schedules and stuff. Unfortunately, probably no one outside of their own network can connect to it or something.
Now, you know how you contacted those guys and everything, and they said that the cost of the show was very high?
Yes.
That has to be largely due to phone bills, doesn't it?
I would assume so.
That sounds, because, you know, they do that show. It's like a lot of calling,
and you always hear beeping.
Must be outrageous.
Yeah, you always hear beeping, so I'm assuming that what they're doing is they have everybody's calling into one of those, like, AT&T conference call things, and... they're just recording off of that or something.
Yeah,
but I mean, those things cost a lot of money. So,
what
I don't understand though is if you know, we're Linux geeks or just geeks in general, and all this technology available, if everybody has got broadband, why not use voice over IP, which is, you know, free once you get it.
You get it working properly.
Well, it's not hard to do. Once you have broadband, it's not hard to do.
How about we go new topic, something very frustrating.
Do it.
And we can play our frustration.
Do it. Do it. Do it.
Why indeed. Now, I learned today that in the past, I've been told repeatedly that, hey, If you got a problem with an application in Windows, go into safe mode and uninstall it. It's the best way to uninstall something. All right, so I go into XP safe mode because something happened during an install of something, got screwed up. So I go in and I go to uninstall some stuff, and it won't let me install and install it because it says the Windows installer cannot service is not running and won't run in safe mode. So I tried to start the Windows installer service, and it tells me it won't run in safe mode. So
why,
how the hell am I?
Why?
So I put that out there to our listeners. If you're on the chat and you know how to uninstall something that requires Windows installer service in safe mode, let me know if I'm missing something here. Because always in the past, like with 98 and maybe 2000, it changed, but I never really had to go through this. I don't understand why. Why not? It doesn't make any sense. I thought that's the whole purpose of safe mode, was to fix it. And on a side note, there's a Windows person, a Microsoft person at work, and they said to me, well, you know, you can start it up in debug mode, and you can go in there and hack through the code that's problematic, and then you might be able to start up. And I'm like, what? You know, no, I don't want to hack through code just to get the computer to start properly, to get a desktop so I can uninstall something.
Yeah, but you do know that I gave you the definitive answer today when you were asking it on
Format
IRC.
Format C.
That's what I told him. Format Space C colon. Fix it right up.
So, but what's frustrating about it is I was working on the box that holds our antivirus updating engine.
Right.
That updates the antivirus for the entire district. And now it's hosed. And I spent half the day trying to get back into it. But now I'm going to have to wipe it out and reinstall everything.
Man.
So that was an incredible waste of time.
Can't you start that service while you're in safe? Like, you can't you?
It's. I went to go start the service.
Start the service.
I went to start the service and told me it will not run in safe mode.
And you can't uninstall it
because
it won't. In normal mode.
I can't get to it. The closest I can get. Now this all happened after I installed the new Novell client. Actually, what I did was I reinstalled the Novell client under the direction of advice given from a company, Versatrans, on how to make their software run better with a Novell environment.
Right.
And they said, instead of me using the new Novell file system, I have to use the old Novell file system, which means I had to find a server with empty hard drive space that I can create a traditional volume on.
Ah.
Instead of using the NSS, the Net Storage Service volume, whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Once I found that, then they said, well, don't use two protocols. Don't use IP and IPX. Remove the IPX. So I had to reinstall the client without IPX support. And after that, I couldn't get back into the computer. Like, I get to the point of a login screen. I'd log in, and it would just hang. I wouldn't get a desktop. So then when they originally created the image, they removed the advanced button on there so I can log into the workstation without logging in Novell. So I went into safe mode, and I removed the client, and I reinstalled it, okay? Which, luckily, I was able to do that, and I got the advanced button. So then I bypassed the Novell login, logged in straight to the workstation, got a desktop, clicked on for the control panel to remove the rest of the software I needed to remove, and it locked up, and it kept locking up and locking up, and it wouldn't let me do it. I couldn't really do anything. So then I went back into safe mode, tried to remove that software, and that's when it told me you can't remove it without the Windows installer service.
Oh, that's
so that
pretty
is
rotten,
frustrating,
man.
That's really frustrating to spend. And I did. I was, like, banging my head against the wall. I was like, why? Why is it this? So then it got me thinking about another contest we can have. And this is what I thought of, all right? Have you ever borked a Linux system aside from, like, installing a kernel, which your kernel flubs, and not having a backup kernel to go to, you know, booting to different kernels? Have you ever borked a Linux system to the point that you had to reinstall the whole...
That you had to reinstall?
Reinstall it. Have you ever borked a Linux system to that point? Just like this XP workstation now is borked. That the only thing I have a choice.
Dude, I haven't even gotten a kernel panic in like 4 years.
The only choice I have is to wipe out this system and reinstall it. Now, have you ever had that happen? If anybody has a story of how they borked a Linux system to the point of having to reinstall it, we'd like to hear about it. And I am putting on the forum right now.
Okay.
that thread that send us your stories of how you borked the Linux system. And eventually, if we get enough stories, we will have a little poll and we can vote on it, and the winner gets a T-shirt or something. Maybe it's not just...
You know, it'd have to be... It can't be Windows systems because that's far too easy.
Well, see, I thought about that.
Yeah. Give them out to everybody.
I thought about that, too. How could we do it on Windows? Now, it's hard to get to say how you borked a Linux system. How can you bork a Linux... Now, the opposite is, it's really easy to bork a Windows system. So I was thinking, what is the most inane thing or minor thing you've ever done to bork a Windows system? You know, put a floppy disk in and the whole thing fell apart and then you had to reinstall it. Something stupid like that. I'd be interested to hear those stories, too.
I have one of them I can share with you right now. I simply moved the mouse. That was it. I have completely hosed a Windows system by moving the mouse. This is back in, like, Windows 95 days.
So you get the little box that came up and says you have moved the mouse. Yeah,
this
would
was like
you like to restart in order for
this
to change
this is Windows 95 days when you had to go in and, you know, like, they didn't have good mouse drivers then. You had to load your mouse drivers in. I loaded a mouse driver in for the serial mouse. Rebooted. Windows loaded up. I moved the mouse. And that was it. I had to reinstall. It locked up hard. And when you rebooted it, it wouldn't load up Windows whatsoever. It got up to the Windows startup screen. It just hung there. That was it. Reinstall by moving the mouse. Beat that. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, a lot of people can beat that. A lot of people hork their system up just installing Windows.
Just starting it up.
I actually got it started before I moved the mouse.
You hit the power button and that was it.
Pretty much. How I Borked the Linux Box by Dan.
But
I have a feeling that it's
going to
be
stories.
A really empty...
Well, no, we got a lot of Gen 2 users who can come back and say how they've worked. But, you know...
They're going to be sending us nasty emails
like,
now.
Up the bin directory over here, but that was only because it was just easier than trying to figure out exactly what the heck it was that I did to it. That wasn't really a... That was sort of a bork.
No,
because I couldn't boot back up.
So I've done stupid. I've done stupid crap like delete everything in my home directory.
Didn't you do the?
I've
Etsy?
Done that before.
No, that was. No, you deleted your dev file system once, didn't you?
No, I deleted. Did I? No.
Yeah,
I didn't
You said you you deleted your dev files. Your dev.
Maybe I did
files once.
I thought it was Etsy that I deleted. I don't know, but I never like completely hosed this system. I've deleted all kinds of crap. Dev file system, all you got to do is, you know, run make dev again, and it makes it right up for you. Etsy, I think I deleted once, but I had a backup, and I just pulled it back off a backup while it was still running. And I can't even think of...
Now, a couple years ago...
Really horking
something. I removed glibc.
Yeah,
no, glib from my box.
That would work something.
That worked everything out. Now, that was on the server, and all I had to do was boot up off of the Slack disk and reinstall the package.
Pop it back
in. And then a couple months later, I did it again. You see, I didn't learn the first time, and I learned the second time. I was like, oh, that was stupid. No, what did I do to fix it? But you know what? You remove such an integral part of the operating system, the complete operating system, and yet... All you need, it's a really simple
but
fix.
Like it didn't bust anything bad enough that you couldn't fix it, you know? I can't think of anything that
I mean, rarely do I
so
do anything.
Even if it was a kernel problem.
Right.
You know? Even if it's a kernel problem, you can always go in and, you know, stick a generic kernel in.
I had a kernel freeze, but that was like a long time ago. I was trying to put a driver on for the oddball Win modem that's in the laptop here.
But that wasn't really working.
The kernel system was all
froze.
I just took the RPM off and it was fine. So
well, your kernel, but it didn't render it useless, right?
No, it didn't. No. Well, and when it froze, it did. But
you just you can reboot and get back in.
Yeah.
See, that's. I mean, I have never, even when I did the glibc thing, glib, and I wiped that out, I was able to reboot and fix it. Without having to wipe everything out.
Right.
Without having to do a reinstall of the entire operating system. Yeah, and it amazes me that that Windows has come so far and yet has given you so little to fix it, especially on the NT file system, because you, with the NTFS, you can mount an NTFS share in Linux, and you could get stuff off of
it,
but you can't copy it to there without jeopardizing the entire, corrupting the entire file system.
Right.
So, I mean, it's really, you can't really go in and fix it. And there's no, you know, you can't fix things in safe mode all the time.
Right.
Case in point. And half the time, you don't even know what did it. Never have I installed a piece of software in Linux that has rendered my entire system inoperable.
Even after a reboot.
Yeah, even as, after a reboot.
As does happen with Windows, yeah. Renders it inoperable. You reboot thinking, you know, because that's the standard Windows answer for everything is, you know, did you reboot?
Reboot, retry, reinstall.
And, that's right. That's exactly
the three R's
exactly
of Microsoft support.
The three
support.
R's of Microsoft. Reboot, retry, and reinstall. You're right. I can't ever think of a... I mean, I can recall some nervous phone calls between you and I when we'd screwed some stuff up, but I can't ever remember rendering a system completely useless permanently.
And that's that is really... I don't know what's more frustrating. When you bork it up and realize that you have to reinstall everything again, and it's like, oh my God, here we go. How many hours is this going to take me to get back to where I am? Or you bork it up and you try and fix it, but you can't fix it.
See,
you don't know what's going on.
That's the thing. I don't know a whole lot of people that do Microsoft support that actually try and fix anything anymore. Because you can't, you know what I mean? You can't find anything in Microsoft anymore to fix it. When you install a piece of software, it's not like Linux, you know. You install a piece of software, it finds a directory somewhere, it puts all the crap in there, you know, except for maybe a dependent library or something, which goes in a library directory. Everything goes in one spot, and you can find it again. Windows just puts everything wherever the hell, you know, all over the place. There's DLLs here and, you know, registry packs and stuff. Yeah,
15,000 registry entries.
You can't find the stuff to get rid of it. And so I don't even, you know, I don't even dig for stuff anymore to uninstall it. I will simply go right for the reinstall. It's a lot easier. Plus, you know, if I'm fixing somebody else's computer, I'll go right for the reinstall because you never know if they have, like, all their patches and their security updates and, you know, and the viruses now. It's so easy to get a virus on a Microsoft computer. All you can do is turn it on, pretty much. Won't be long before you don't even have to turn it on. You know what I mean?
It'll turn
just
it on.
Just wave it up in the air and it'll get infected or something. But, you know, they you know, like I mentioned last week, I think... CERT or somebody said that, you know, the average Microsoft computer gets infected within 2 hours of being on the internet. And the viruses now are really malicious and they hide really well and they propagate so fast that, you know, there's no use of you even really, and once you become infected, there's no use of you trying to, you know, track them down and wipe them out because half the time that doesn't work anyway. And then you get reinfected, you know, right away again. So your best bet is just to do a clean reinstall, and the only thing you reinstall after that, or the first thing you reinstall after that, is you go through all the security updates and stuff, and then do your firewall, and then you can, you know, install some other programs.
Do you ever, now your dad, father-in-law, is running Windows 2K, or was
yep.
My dad actually installed Windows and made a rescue disk set.
Right.
But you have to use floppies. And when his system borked,
57
he
floppies.
Booted off the CD and ran those rescue floppies as a fix. Still didn't fix the damn thing. But those things take forever.
Oh, yes.
Forever.
In order for me to install Windows 2000 on my father-in-law's computer the first time, I had to do the four floppy install start. Because, and this is the weirdest thing, his computer will not boot a Windows CD. A bootable Windows CD, not Windows 98, not 95, not 2000, not NT, will not boot a Windows CD. However, any bootable Linux CD in the world, if you put it in there, it will boot.
That's a smart computer. We need more of those.
Yeah.
Where's that
but
BIOS
it's really
from?
Frustrating if you're trying to, like, I had to... I had to fix his computer over the weekend, and I had to put, I wanted to put Windows 98. I wiped everything off. I was going to do a dual boot of Windows 98 so he could play his one particular game he likes, and Linux. And I couldn't get it to boot. When, you know, you got to put Windows on there first, or it's better to put it on there first. But I couldn't get it to boot because all I had was a 98 CD, and it wouldn't boot the damn CD, but it would boot the Linux CD every time, you know. That's frustrating. But, you know, there again it goes to show how wonderful that kind of software is.
Oh, man. It's too much. It's so frustrating. Why, Link? Why? Why? Why?
Why? Why?
Oh.
Why?
Why? Why? Why? Why? Why? Why? Why? Why? Why? Why?
Why?
Oh. It's and the next time that someone says the TOC of Windows is lower than the cost of Linux, yeah, we'll punch him right in the friggin' mouth.
That's what Dan says.
We got this one woman at work. Our time card application is web-based on it. So through Internet Explorer, she cannot get to this thing. It will crash through the Windows box every single time. IT's been in there. Oh, we don't know what it is. Oh, yeah, they've been in there for a while. Boots up, it goes through Mozilla perfectly fine. But yet they will not give that as an answer for her. They won't, you know, won't let her install that.
They won't let her use a Mozilla based browser?
Yeah, well, she has one on there. I put it on there before we locked us out. But that was the answer to it. You know,
it's gonna say Flipper Nopic CD, right?
Well, it's one of the PCI based Unix box PC, so we can't really do that. But you know, the whole name thing is it's like this problem's been going on for like 2 years now, and every time they get called on it, well, we reinstall stuff. We don't know what it is. But come on, then maybe it's just time to reinstall the whole damn thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
That's too much of an answer, I think.
See, I don't. This is what I don't like. You have horror stories about your IT folk over where you work, because you have broken shit and they don't fix it. Now, where I work, I'm the IT person. I have the entire opposite thing going on. They have stuff that works that they want me to fix. And I can't figure out how to fix something that works. You know what I mean? Like, they have computers that, like, first of all, I get no parts. Just, you know, the general IT thing. You get no parts, you get like bubble gum and duct tape or something to fix, you know, computers that are 95 years old. And everybody is using these things that are older than dirt. But the one, and I'll have them working, like, and the computers will work fine, but they complain that the computer is too slow and want me to fix it. However, I have nothing to fix it with, you know? I just can't figure it out.
I won't completely knock our IT department. I'm sure that, you know, my limited, exposure to them has always been, it's been a pain in the butt.
Because you're a Unix guy and they're Microsoft people.
That's exactly it. You know, we're the only Unix group in the company. Everybody else is Windows on it. Our machines are sort of rogue to begin with. Because it was up to the, you know, the director of the IT, we'd all be running NT boxes.
That just goes to show what's wrong with your IT department already.
Yeah. You know, thankfully we have our.
Does
own
Alan argue? No.
No, no. You know, thankfully we have our own Unix system in, who can take care of things, because otherwise nothing would get done.
All right. It's a bad thing, and then we have Dan.
Why? That's all I got to say, Link. Why? Hey, you know what? One last thing that we do have to cover that's on the blog is Taste the Rainbow, baby.
Oh, yeah.
If you've been watching TV, you've probably seen that Skittles commercial with the guy in the bird's nest. But if you haven't, on the chat right now, I've posted the URL that you could get the MPEG file off of Skittles' website. Now, unless you have like QuickTime plugin or MPlayer plugin or whatever in your browser, you're not going to be able to see it if you go to that website. What skeeved me about it is they offer it in two formats, QuickTime or Windows Media Player. Now, the Windows Media Player is an MPEG format.
Uh-huh.
All right, so there's no need to say Windows Media Player. Just say MPEG format.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's really funny. I think that is one of the best commercials I've seen in a while. It's great.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Quack, quack. It's just so good. So definitely check that out. Yeah. It's funny. There's another
actual
one on their
entertaining
side.
Entertaining commercial.
Yeah, did you see the one where they're sitting on the rainbow? And the one kid goes, yeah, you think this is, or he says something like, you think this is safe or whatever? And then the rainbow just drops him, and he, and the other kids are just sitting there eating the Skittles, and the guy, you just see the guy falling out of the sky. Ah. Have you seen that one yet? It's on their site, too. I didn't
have to
grab the WGET URL for that.
Have to check that.
Not as funny as the guy in the bird's nest.
I like the Indian guy in the bird's nest. That's funny.
Was that Indian or was he Mexican?
I think he's like Indian guy.
Is he? I thought he might be like Mexican.
Hey, Middle Eastern kind of.
Whack, whack.
Thank you very much.
And he cracks it's up funny, right at man. The end as he said, thank you, thank you, thank you very much. And he starts laughing. He can't keep a straight face. It's just such a good commercial.
Whack. It was good. Watch it. You got to watch it. If you haven't seen it on TV, download it and watch it on your computer because it's really funny.
Oh, you know what? I tried this week. Slap get.
Slap get.
Slap get. Because it was called to our attention that Swarat's website hasn't been up and running for a while.
That is true.
And
is it up now?
I don't know. Go try it out. And apparently, after doing some further research into it, there was some brouhaha between one of the developers, or the original developer, Swarat, and Slapget. And
supposedly.
And the guy...
You can't ever take any of this stuff for gold, you know.
Right. And there was some problems, and Swarat got kicked off of Fresh Meat for a while, but then was put back, and now that person is no longer in charge of Swarat, the development process, and another guy is, but he's on vacation, and when he gets back, he's going to fix everything, particularly with the site being down. So I decided to give Slapget a try and see how well that works. It's supposed to be, you know, just like using AppGet, but for Slackware, and it did really well. It doesn't do dependency checking like Swarat does, but in their FAQ, there is a way that you can do dependency checking with Slapget. The configuration file, right off the bat, really simple. All you need to do is put in the sites, the locations of the sites. Now, there's an example configuration file that they provide, which has just about every single site that you want to go to. All the Slackware mirror sites, and then you have Linux packages, Audio Slack, the producer, the guy who developed Slapget, his site. So when you search for packages, it's going to search all of those. So if you want something that's not in the standard Slackware install, it'll show you where all the packages are. Now, for instance, I said, well, I know Audacity is not in the standard Slackware install, so let me see about doing a search on that. It's going to pull it up. Now, it did pull it up, but it showed from four different sites. Okay. It was like Linux packages, Audio Slack, and a couple other sites. What I didn't get an opportunity to do is choose where I wanted to download it from. Maybe that's possible, but I didn't see that right off the bat. So that was one thing. Would be nice also if they took a little cue from Swarat's configuration file and allow you to specify the version at the top instead of having to specify the version in each download location or source site, so that, you know, if you had the FTP site you want to go to, you have to say 10.0 at the end of that, aside from not 9.0. And you have to do that for each one of the URLs that you have in there. But aside from that, it works really great. It's neat that you could do package searches and all sorts of fun and nifty stuff. So it's there. It's a viable alternative to Swarat.
Now, is that using the same repository on your system for the packages and stuff, so that you could essentially use both tools and they would both know about each other. Like that, you can't use one to the mutual exclusivity of the other, right?
That's a darn good question, because let me think here. When you set it up, you could tell where the repository would be for Slapget, just like with Swarat. And by default is /var/Swarat. And I think Slapget is /var/Slapget. You could probably point them in the same location, but they're going to use a different... Like when you do an upgrade or an update...
Yeah, but when you do the like Swaret queries to see what packages are on your system, right? Doesn't it look in Firelock packages?
It's the same thing. You do an update for Slapget, and it looks at all the packages you have on your system, so it keeps a record of what packages you have. So if you want to update something, it's not going to just go out and download it. It's going to know that you have that version.
That's my point. You can use Slapget, and you can go and get some programs and stuff, and then if you want to use Swaret later, it's not going to get the same damn stuff because it's going to figure that
it's
going to find out when it's already on your
system. When you do that Swaret or Slapget update,
right?
It queries the new packages that are available, and it knows what's on, you know, looks at what's on your system, the package list on your system, and it compares the versions.
So
you can use them together, and they would go together hand in hand, or you can use them separately.
Good.
Now, the Slapget site, the documentation, since I've read it more recently, it tells you how to do a full distribution upgrade using Slapget. You have to download, like, three. You have to do three files first. Like, I think it's, like,
package tools.
Or glibc and stuff like that. And then you can just Slapget everything else.
Cool. All right, well, here's the scoop on Swaret. Evidently, according to the one site that is up for Swaret, which is swaret.sourceforge.net, swaret.org, or was it .org? Yeah, swaret.org is down. This website should be up. So check it out, swaret.sourceforge.net. I also found Swaret, or a link to this, at least, at Fresh Meat. Or unfreshmeat for Swaret, which was freshmeat.net/project/Swaret, which will point you to the homepage of swaret.sourceforge.net, which has the current stable version of Swaret available, and it also points you off to Linux packages, which I assume that you can get another stable version. And that's the current dope on that. I guess something happened, like Dan said, something happened with the person who was maintaining the Swaret.org website or something. I don't know, but
the Gen 2 people had him bumped off.
Something like that, yeah. That's just not working, but do not give up, you users of Swaret. You can still get Swaret.
Hold on.
You can get Swaret, and very, very soon I'm sure there will be another nice, brandy new-looking Swaret kind of website all to its own with all the appropriate and necessary files on it. So just hang in there, and
don't give up
on Swaret. It's not
definitely
dead.
Not
Swaret
dead.
There is
a new developer, or the person who's a head developer, and he, like I said, he's on vacation right now, according to the last post. I think it's the Linux packages. No, it's not Linux packages, but there's a link off the forum in Linux packages, which, by the way, has a really nice forum now for Slackware.
Yes.
To linuxquestions.org, where the maintainer of the new maintainer of Swaret said,
right,
when he gets back from vacation,
things will get straightened
right out.
His 3-week
vacation, he'll straighten everything out.
So just hang in there and don't give up on Swaret. Swaret is an awesome tool.
Well, maybe the guy's back, according to Rigney's on the blog. On the IRC. So hopefully it'll get things squared away. And Link, you can offer to host Swaret for them.
Sure. It's just slim the hell
right
on.
I can host it over here. We can just keep piling stuff on over here. More stuff. More stuff.
I don't know. All right, folks.
I'm going to host Finglefin's blog.
Yeah, right. That is that about it for this week? It's got to be about it for this. Does anybody know what number tech show this is?
4.
That's right.
Because it's an even show.
44. It's an even
show. You're opening it up.
Dan knows that because I started it up, right.
Did you yell at me? What is it? When I asked you what show was you do the odd shows. When I said, is it 42 this week? And you, no, you do the odd shows.
Odd shows. You're the odd one. 44, and we are only going to go to episode 50. Well, we're going to go beyond episodes of 50, but episode 50 is actually our 1-year episode.
Woohoo! Yeah, it would be a 1-year anniversary, but not... Yeah. But we haven't done 52 episodes then, because we had 2 weeks off.
Well, we had 2 weeks off. We had for Christmas and New Year's. But that's still, our 50th episode is our one-year anniversary. That's we've been doing it for our whole year. And that's coming right along, guys. 6 weeks.
And we'll be partying somewhere.
And we're going to be partying hardy. So if you have suggestions
tiki bar,
for the...
Tiki bar.
If you have suggestions for the tech show party show, please... Give us an email or buzz or something. Drop us a line.
Or put it on the forum.
Put it on the forum. There
the
you go.
Forum.
Let us know what you think. Well, I'd like to do something, you know, something different, something special for that. So it might be a little fun. If not, we'll just do the same old thing and then just go out and get really, really drunk afterwards or something.
Sounds good.
Do karaoke.
Karaoke.
Should we play the Coors commercial one more time?
The Coors
for everybody.
Right. One more Coors commercial and then we're out of here. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
It's guys' night out, and you've been drinking hard. The buzz is on until Alan drops the bro bomb.
Hey, bro, how about another round?
Indeed,
hey,
how
bro.
About it? Show that douchebag just what it means to be a bro. Because when you care enough not to care, send them to the Rockies. Coors, cold brewed, straight from the goat piss streams of Colorado. The beer of dickhead bros the world over.
Pulling a flink tech show. Pulling a flink tech show.